resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal
soul, in weakness raised in power, ready to live in paradise.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With the redeemed
of
God.
Never stand.
There'll be no more sorrow.
No more pain. There'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness of my Savior. Ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
Free. From every imperfection, youthful and happy I shall be.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord, I'll have a new
life.
Glorified with him forever, death will be lost in victory.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Yes,
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory,
with the redeemed
of God.
Never stand. Sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of
his likeness,
ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
What a hallelujah morning when the last trump of God shall sound. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal
grace, all bursting saints are shouting, heavenly beauty all around.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Oh, yes.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With a reading no God can stand.
No more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of
his likeness,
ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. Welcome to the Passion for Christ show. This is your host, Bruce Kesser. So glad to have you, friend. My goal is very simple. That is to encourage you along the way to help you find your passion in life in Jesus Christ. And oh, by the way, I'm just thankful to be part of the greatest movement ever, a follower of Jesus Christ, because you see, in him I find peace, joy, and happiness. And I am blessed beyond measure, more than I ever deserve. Once again, welcome. Welcome to the show, folks. Welcome to the show. Upcoming in our study segment, that is the question of why do you give? Why do you give? But first, we got several things along the way. Headline news. Hey folks, get this. In the spirit of giving back, a local Detroit church hosted an event over the weekend giving $15 in free gas to the first 150 people to visit a BP gas station in the city. The event kicked off at 1:30 p.m. and by 2 p.m. police had to shut it down. Just 30 minutes into the event, folks. They said we had about 150 people we wanted to bless, and it ended up doubling the number. He said the turnout was so great that it caused significant traffic backups. Oh, folks, look at it. I mean, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. People lined up starting at 10:30 a.m., and the giveaway started at 1:30. And, man, it created a lot of problems, and the police had to shut it down. Despite the event being shut down within 30 minutes, the church was able to serve more people than they anticipated, and that was okay. That was okay, they said. If the church were to host a giveaway again, Harris said he would want to coordinate with the local police. You think, folks? But what a wonderful thing to happen, though. Church-hosted gas giveaway is shut down after two times the anticipated number of people turn up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, today, folks, is our clothing giveaway, and we only pray to God that our gift will be received just like this event here in Detroit. Maybe we'll have double the amount too, folks. You never know. God is powerful indeed. Hey, did you get this, folks? Have you heard about this? Large numbers of Iranian Muslims are walking away from Islam and toward Christianity, a new documentary says. According to the Frontier Alliance International Studios, Sheep Among Wolves, Volume 2, inside of Iran, where the majority of citizens are Muslim, the fastest growing church in the world is blossoming underground. One unidentified Iranian church leader even went as far as to say, Islam is dead in Iran. Get that, folks. The church leader, who remained anonymous for their protection, asked, what if I told you Islam is dead? What if I told you the mosques are empty inside Iran? What if I told you no one follows Islam inside of Iran? Would you believe me? But that is exactly what is happening inside of Iran. God is moving powerfully inside of Iran, the church leader asserted. The church leader also shared that they believe that Ayatollah Khamenei is the best evangelist for Jesus. The Ayatollah brought the true face of Islam to light, and people discovered that it was a lie. After 40 years under Islamic law, a utopia, according to them, they had the worst devastation in the 5,000-year history of Iran. This church movement is without buildings, property, or central leadership, but it still steadily grows. The movement's aim is not to plant churches, but to grow discipleship. You see, they believe that disciples forsake the world and cling to Jesus till he comes. Converts don't. Disciples aren't engaged in cultural war, converts are. Disciples cherish, obey, and share the word of God. Converts don't. Disciples choose Jesus over anything and everything else. Converts don't. Converts run when the fire comes. Disciples don't. The leader asserted. Get that, folks? Can you believe that? God is great indeed. The fastest growing church in the world is spreading like wildfire in Iran. Hallelujah, folks. Hallelujah. Now get this. Get this. High school football player Jaden Payne saved lives earlier this week when he rescued a mom and her toddler from the raging waters of Tropical Depression Imelda. Through a growing storm that caused dangerous and flooded roadways, Vanita Williams was attempting to get her two-year-old daughter safely home from daycare. But the rain just kept pounding harder and harder, and the car was sent off the road into a flooded drainage ditch near Jaden's school. Jaden and his mother saw the mother struggle to get out of her sinking car. The whole side of that street was submerged in water, Jaden recalled. I hear my mom screaming, no, no, someone stop her. Get out of the car. Get out of the car. I just started seeing it sink. The rushing water was pulling both of them under, the Williams and her daughter. And she held on to her daughter above her head, but still couldn't make progress towards safe ground. That's when Jaden instantly bounded into action. I threw off my jacket, threw my shirt off, and dove right in. And Williams handed her daughter to the rescuing football player, who pulled both of them out of the current safely with the help of two other men. He's my guardian hero. That's what he is. That's what he is. Get that, folks. Texas high school football player saves mom and child trapped in floodwaters. He said, I had to make sure two of God's children didn't die. Amen, folks. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. This young man took it with gusto, dove in, and saved a poor life. Folks, you never know when those kinds of opportunities are going to come. Are you ready? That's our headline news for this broadcast. And now this day in church history. On 869, year 869, on this day, the Fourth Council of Constantinople opens. In six sessions, it will condemn iconoclasm and anathematize Constantinople's patriarch Photius, who held the ancient canons above the Pope. On this day in 1582, the Gregorian calendar is introduced into Italy and other Catholic countries to replace the Julian calendar, which had lost 10 days against the solar calendar. This day becomes October 15th. On this day, 1690, Solomon Stoddard preaches a famed sermon on the Lord's Supper, saying people should be allowed to partake, even if not sure of their salvation. And that's this day in church history. And now we have Name That Bible Character segment. Here is your clue. According to Jesus, we devoured widows' houses. Who are we? Here's your clue one more time. According to Jesus, we devoured widows' houses. Who are we? We will reveal the final answer to this exciting clue after the study segment. So stay tuned, folks, for that exciting reveal in our upcoming Name That Bible Character segment. And now we come to our study for this broadcast. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Get your cup of coffee in your hand, or hot tea or cold drink or whatever you have, and sit down with me and let's begin reading in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Are you ready, folks? Let's read it together. Let's read it together. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. What was the grace, folks, that God bestowed on those churches? He says something in verse 2 that answers that. That in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Folks, we sometimes struggle to give. And so that's one of the questions I wanted to ask in this study. Why do you give? And here we have some churches in Macedonia that were under great affliction. But Paul says here, but that out of the abundance of their joy. Where does this joy originate? We're going to find that answer here pretty soon. And you just need to be ready for it, folks. Need to be ready for it. But he says, in that affliction, in their deep poverty, he said that they were under not only affliction, but they were also under deep poverty. That they abounded in the riches of their liberality. A lot of people worry about being liberal in politics, but Paul's not worried about that word as it pertains to Christianity and in the giving. In giving, we should be the best liberals possible. Be liberal with giving. And here is a church that, even while they were under great affliction, even as they were in deep poverty, were willing to give and give more. Notice what he says in verse 3. Are you with me? Are you with me? Tie your shoestrings, folks. Pull up your breeches. Tie your belt. Get ready for this. Verse 3. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. Amen, folks? Say that with me. Freely willing. One more time. Freely willing. Are you freely willing, folks? What are you willing to do to give and to help and to serve? They were freely willing. This is in verse 3, latter part of verse 3. Coming into verse 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Employing us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. There was a need, and they not only wanted to give, but they wanted to give more. And not only that, but it was a privilege and an honor. It was an exciting moment for them to do so. And it didn't matter what their situation was. Amen. Verse 5, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So two things that we notice there right off the bat. It went beyond Paul's expectation of these churches and seeking help and support for other needy congregations and or people. And he says, these churches of Macedonia attributed, Paul attributes their willingness, their liberality, if you will, to give, not just non-monetarily, although that was the gift of the grace that he's talking about there. But they first gave themselves to the Lord. That's where all of this originated. That was the foundation of their giving. And then to us by the will of God. Motivated by two fronts, weren't they? Verse 6, so we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. Now he's talking to the Corinthians. He's asking them to participate in this liberal giving. They were thinking about it. They got good intentions. And Paul is going to encourage them as he's going to encourage you, friend. Don't just think about it. Don't just have good intentions, but you've got to do something with it to have some kind of effect. Amen, glory, hallelujah. Say it with me. Amen, glory, hallelujah. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, he would also complete this grace in you. Verse 7, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us also, see that you abound in this grace also. Paul says, hey, you got the greatest gifts in the whole wide world. That's great. Let me pat you on the back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, friend. But he says, you need to abound in this grace also. Intentions, good intentions, any intentions are useless unless you follow through. Don't just sit there. Don't just have compassion that does nothing. You got to be motivated, and motivation just doesn't do anything unless you get up and move and act and do. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Paul says, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. Now, in another location, as in this letter to the Corinthians, he says, now, look, we shouldn't compare or measure ourselves among ourselves if we're not wives. But Paul is pointing to other examples, other churches, and saying, then this is how you should give. He's not measuring their salvation or anything like that, but he's just using the Macedonian churches as an example. He's pointing to them and saying, look how these people are giving, and they're dirt poor. What are you doing? He says, I'm testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. His point is that giving can be measured, or your giving can measure the sincerity of your love. Why can't you give more? Is the underlining question. And he points to the Macedonian churches to bring and hone in on that principle. Why can't you give more? You can, and here's the reason why. Verse 9, I told you we was going to hit this point real quick. Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. You see, you have all the riches in the world. And you may not be the richest guy or lady monetarily, but you have riches and you have gifts and you have something that you can give. Hallelujah. That's his point. The basis of all this is what Christ has done for you on the cross. And that love should be enough motivation for you to share those riches. So why do you give? The question should be, why don't you give like Christ gave? That should be the question. Why don't you give like Christ? And I want you to think about that and answer that. That's something very personal. I don't want to dig in your pocketbook today in this broadcast. Congregation here at the South Canadian Valley Church of Christ, we're having our once a year clothing giveaway. And we're giving. We're collecting all of these clothes and shoes and food and everything to support and give back to our community. Why do we do that? It's not because we think we're great and patting ourselves on the back, or that shouldn't be why we do it. We should be doing it because Christ gave us the greatest riches from heaven himself. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. So why are we giving? Because Christ gave. And we need to give a little bit of that back. And this day is a good day to do that in the clothing giveaway. Folks, Jesus Christ, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That's the basis of our giving. And we need to remember that every day. And that's our study for this broadcast. And now we have Name That Bible Character. Here was your clue. According to Jesus, we devoured widows' houses. Who are we? The answer to that is scribes. That's right. Mark chapter 12, 38-40. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues and uppermost rooms of the feast, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. According to Jesus, then, we devoured widows' houses. Who are we? Scribes. In Name That Bible Character. Hey, folks, you too can become a follower of Jesus Christ, because in him you can find peace, joy, and happiness and be blessed beyond measure, more than you ever deserve. Folks, my goal here has been very simple: to encourage you along the way to help you find your passion in life in Jesus Christ. Hey, if you ever come through Norman, Oklahoma, stop by and visit with us at the South Canadian Valley Church of Christ. We would welcome you indeed. But if you can't, stop by our website, normanchurch.com. 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 Well, friend, I just want to tell you this. Thank you so much for listening to this broadcast. May God bless you.
This I know. There's a time to reap and a time to sow. Good deeds planted every day will grow and grow. Baba told me so.
This I know.
There's a time to plant and a time to cry, a time to live and a time to die. I know. Baba told me so. Oh, the good Lord watches over everyone, morning, noon, and night. He made the moon and he sent his sun so our future would be bright. There's a time to reap and a time to sow, a time to pray when the evening lights are low. Baba told me so.
This I know.
There's a time to work and a time to play, to scatter flowers on the way wherever you go. Baba told me so.
Yes, I know.
There's a time to win and a time to lose, a time when everybody gets the blues. I know. Baba told me so. Oh, the good Lord watches over everyone, morning, noon, and night. He made the moon and he sent his sun so our future would be bright. There's a time to reap and a time to sow, a time to pray when the evening lights are low. Baba told me so.
This I know.
There's a time to reap and a time to sow, a time to pray when the evening lights are low. Baba told me so. Baba told me so.